The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks. Very exciting guest right now. His name is Mark Ibrahim. Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA agent. He was suspended from the agency for being outside the Capitol building during the January 6th riot, where many senators and congresspeople were killed, as you may have heard. Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody was killed. Oh, Ashley Babbitt was killed. That's a new take. I got to talk to Mark Ibrahim about many things. He comes to us by way of Patrick Coffin and our friend Rob McCoy, and we just want him to tell his story. It's important stuff. Mark Ibrahim, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I can't see Mark. Mark, welcome. I want to say that I'm grateful to you for wanting to tell the story, because there has been such madness and confusion surrounding whatever it is that supposedly happened on January 6th, and the idea that we're not supposed to talk about it, or we're supposed to have certain opinions about it. Is very troubling to me as an American, and I'll be the last person to shut up on this kind of an issue. So facts matter, truth matters, and we just want to hear your story. I'm not sure what you can say. There's some kind of a lawsuit going on. What can you tell us? Let's start there.
There's an active case against me. I'm facing 15 years in jail, facing multiple charges. I never went in the building. I never hurt anybody. I even offered assistance to the FBI SWAT team that was outside the Capitol building. I knew one of the members on the team personally. He had my personal cell phone, as did my brother. My brother is a FBI special agent. He was with me the whole time. He's still an active special agent. He wasn't fired, or he's not facing any jail time whatsoever. He was with me pretty much the whole time. I don't know.
So what is the story here? In other words, I'm confused. You are based on our mutual acquaintances, our mutual friendships with folks like Patrick Coffin and Rob McCoy. I know you're a good guy. You love your country. What can you say about why you would be suspended? And you're telling me your brother, you said he's an FBI guy.
Yeah. So I was home. I was home for the holidays. It's not like people misunderstand. They think that I traveled from Orange County to Washington, D.C. for the rally. I'm actually like a Virginia, Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. native. I went to Catholic University, and I grew up in the Northern Virginia area.
But so I'm going to stop you right there. Even the implication, like you're acting like, oh, I didn't travel there for the rally. I know a million people who traveled there for the rally. Grandmothers. Yeah. People who love Jesus, people who so even the idea that, like, we have to say, well, I didn't travel there. Why do people have to say that? I know many people who travel there. These are the most wonderful people I know. I know they did nothing wrong. But just to be clear, you're saying that you happen to be there. Yeah.
The way things that are getting lumped in, right? Attending that rally was not immoral, illegal, or wrong in any capacity. The destruction of property, the assault on police officers, that was illegal.
And are you talking about Portland?
Kenosha?
Exactly. What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about Washington, D.C. Okay.
All right. So regardless of how you feel about social justice or the election integrity or whatever, it's never an excuse to attack police officers. And regardless, wherever that is.
So
and,
did you attack a police officer?
No, never.
Okay, neither did I. So we're on the same page, right?
Correct. And had I seen anybody attack a police officer, I would have acted in my law enforcement capacity and arrested them, but I didn't. I didn't see anyone. I know that that happened there. There's footage of that happening, but people are lumping the millions of people that attended that rally to support their president with that violence and insurrection. And there
what
has
violence
to be a clear
and insurrection? I'm sorry, but I still the reason I keep interrupting is like I'm not clear on any violence or any insurrection. We don't even know who did what. People have been arrested and put in jail. We don't know what they did wrong. I don't know. They looked sideways, funny at somebody. So there's the idea that we know what happened, and you're saying, and I wasn't part of that. We don't even know what happened. I'm still unclear on that. But it seems to me like you're a good guy. You were there, and you don't know why you were suspended from the DEA. I mean, you were simply there, and they decided to suspend you, and what?
Yeah, so I felt like it was kind of a knee-jerk reaction. They felt that, I mean, I'm Egyptian-Cuban. They may have felt like I was a white supremacist or a threat to our nation.
Hold on. I'm going to be a jerk here. What do you mean they may have thought you were a white supremacist? Because you're white? Is that what you're saying?
I don't understand why they would otherwise. I'm not white. I'm Egyptian-Cuban, actually.
Well, I consider that white. I mean, the point is it's all preposterous. It's so stupid. But you're saying that because you have light skin, you think maybe they thought you were a white supremacist? Is that what you're saying? All the people with light on January 6th were potential white supremacists? It just sounds so crazy. I don't even know where you go from there.
My official verbiage I was given was my alleged participation in the January 6th riot. That was all I was given.
And so when you say they, you're talking about the heads of the DEA. They decided to suspend you. That's what we're talking about when we say they. You were trying to guess why they did this.
Yeah, my superiors at the Drug Enforcement Administration. And then after being suspended three times, I was fired for performance issues dating back months and months ago.
Yeah, that's it was Stalin, a good Democrat, just to be clear, who said, "Show me the man and I will find you the crime." We're noticing this. This is part of what's happening. It happened to us on this program. They decided they wanted to boot the whole program off of YouTube. So they went back to find interviews that they could use as some kind of evidence. But that's not the way people function in a free society. So it's really obviously bizarre and troubling, but it fits the narrative. So what you're telling me, it sounds like, we kind of hear this over and over again. This kind of thing keeps happening. People just decide we don't like him for some reason, and then we'll figure out why later. So, Mark, I don't know if you're able to say or not because this is pending lawsuit, but it seems like somebody had something against you, and they decided simply to suspend you, and they figured we'll figure it out
so
later.
It's not pending lawsuit. I'm facing 15 years. I'm facing a lot of serious time in prison. This is not just like a civil suit. Let's figure it out later. No, like I was arrested. I self-surrendered at the WFO in Washington, D.C. I spent a day in jail. It was pretty humiliating. I went to court in shackles. Now, I've put people in jail, and to be in shackles myself, what I feel as a political prisoner or caught up in this political silliness, it was very hurtful. I love my country. I've never been a threat to my country. I flew from L.A. to D.C. armed. I think I was the sole armed individual on that flight. I flew back from D.C. to L.A. armed with a loaded pistol on my hip, and for them to charge me for having a gun as if I'm a threat to our nation is preposterous. I mean, also, there's a couple of facts. My brother is a special agent with the FBI. He was carrying his gun, his duty weapon with him, and his badge and his creds, as was I. And they knew this from the day that they you know, January 8th, I think they took my badge and gun away, if I recall correctly. And I told them, they're like, did you have your badge and gun? I said, yes, absolutely, because that's what we're expected to do, as did my brother. They knew that from January, but I didn't get indicted until I went on Tucker Carlson. And just kind of right. said well, that this look, was messed up.
That says it all. You know? We'll be right back to unpack the rest of this. But this is painful. But God wants us to talk about what is true. He wants us to get the facts out. They matter. We'll be right back talking to Mark. Hey there, folks. Have you ever looked for a business podcast? You're into business, but you also like to be entertained. So you're looking for a funny business podcast. Well, some of them try to be funny. They're just not funny, which is a problem. I think I have the answer for you. If you like business news and current events with a side of actual comedy, you want to listen to, I can't say this with a straight face, it's called IP Frequently. The hosts are David and Brad. IP Frequently, solid business advice that leans right, conservative, comes with 80s music and current events. They're calling it the unicorn of business podcast. Is that a good thing? If it's funny, it is a good thing. They're also calling it the holy grail of business podcasts. Subscribe to IP Frequently and stay up to date on their weekly stream of episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Go to ipfrequently.com. That's ipfrequently.com. Folks, welcome back. I've got the honor of speaking with Mark Ibrahim, a former agent at the DEA, who was suspended from the agency for the huge crime of being outside the Capitol on January 6th. It's madness, but we have to talk about it. He's facing 15 years in prison for doing jack, I believe is the legal term, for doing nothing. But we're living in crazy times, and it's important for us to talk about it, to get the facts out. Mark Ibrahim, I want to say that, first of all, as an American, I apologize that we're living in a country right now where we've allowed things to get to this place where people like you are being persecuted. It's a monstrous thing. I believe God is with us in this battle and with you. And I want to say thank you again for being willing to come on this program to talk about this, because Americans need to know this is happening to folks like you to get the details. Now, you said to me that you didn't really get in trouble until you appeared on Tucker Carlson to talk about this. When were you on Tucker Carlson?
A couple months ago. I went on when I was fired. You know, I was suspended three times for my 11th participation in the January 6th riot, is what I was told. And then I wasn't fired for that. I was fired for performance issues. And so Tucker Carlson got wind of this, and he asked me to come on. And I said, you know, it's preposterous that, you know, if you're going to fire me for my alleged, you know, at least fire me for my alleged participation in the riot, right? But they just pretext, you know, in case they didn't find anything, they said, oh, performance issues, and that's it. So I went on just letting them know that, hey, it's not right. I love my country. I have a history of serving my country. I was ROTC. You know, I wanted to be a chaplain, and then I ended up becoming an intelligence officer. My mother was in the Pentagon on 9/11. My brother was an Army intel officer, and I followed him to federal law enforcement. He went FBI. I went DEA. I thought the DEA was a little more, you know, on the ground, boots on the ground, and you know, I kind of feel like the FBI are analysts with guns, but, you know, there's still some good people in the FBI, and I have a long history of wanting to serve and love my country. My mom instilled in me, she's a Cuban migrant, and she came here as a child fleeing communism, and she instilled in me that we owe a debt to this nation and that our freedom isn't free and that we should serve. And my mom was in the Pentagon on 9/11, and she went back the next day. You know, she talks about some of her coworkers who weren't even in the building that claimed PTSD and didn't show up for work for 6 months. And my mom, who's a middle-aged woman, went back the next day wanting to support the infrastructure so that we could pay the people back that that attacked us. And
that's called patriotism. That's called patriotism. And that's worrisome. We don't like patriotism anymore. It's scary. Look, you, I have a similar story in the sense that my mother escaped East Germany, communist East Germany. My father left Greece after the communists tried to take over that country. Immigrants to this country, particularly from places like that, teach their kids to love America, to love freedom. And almost always when I meet somebody who's – they're from Cuba or whatever, they get – American freedom better by far than most Americans get it because they understand where it can go. But of course, it's going there right now, and folks like you are being persecuted. Let me just ask you because you try to think about where's the logic. Somebody in the Department of in the DEA obviously had some issue with you. In other words, there are a lot of people that were at this event. You weren't rioting. So even when they call it a riot, there was tons of non-rioting going on. You were there. Were you the kind of a person up to that point that you thought I have ideological enemies, that they're people that they don't like me because maybe I'm too, I don't know what, too Christian, too loving America? What do you suppose got their nose out of joint so that if they had to suspend somebody, they're pointing at you?
I think it was just the media misconstruing what happened and hyping it up and a government agency having a knee-jerk reaction. And, I mean, everybody there was branded a white supremacist, insurrectionist. Everyone who was there was like the – was branded just people who hate America and are dangerous individuals. I've personally met lots of dangerous individuals. Dangerous individuals take the most dangerous course of action, right? Dangerous people who have a weapon will use it. My weapon was never unholstered that day, right? Everyone was safer because of my gun. I offered to assist the FBI SWAT team stationed at the Capitol building. And by the way, the FBI SWAT team does not get enough credit. They went into that building not knowing how many shots were fired, how many people were there, thousands of people. And they went in there courageously, you know, as a small team to rescue the Capitol building. Not that, you know, and so, you know, I have a lot of respect for the FBI SWAT team. And I saw them. I saw members on the team there that day. A friend of mine is on the team. We've trained together. And I specifically offered assistance. You know, people were heckling at the FBI SWAT team, yelling at them, who do you protect? And you guys are a bunch of traitors and this and that. And I told them to leave them alone, that they're good Americans, that they're here to protect us all. And again, going to that rally was not illegal, immoral, or unconstitutional in any way. And actually, it was the most constitutional thing you can do is practice your First Amendment right. But the violence that ensued, now, whoever we disagree or whatever, the violence that ensued, I abhor. And had I seen any violence occur in front of me, I would have personally taken action. I would have personally arrested an individual if I saw them attack a police officer.
But isn't that the point?
But I did not see it.
Is that everyone we know is right on that page? There's just no doubt about it that we are not – even the insinuation that we would be – pro-violence or dangerous, whatever, is itself offensive. And the fact that that gets lumped in with you might be a white nationalist, whatever, that is offensive. I mean, that is slanderous, yes. Libelous. It's really evil, and we need to push against it because it is really – it tells you something about people when they have to play these games. And this is just generally speaking. This has nothing to do with the horror that you have to go through of potentially facing years in prison for doing nothing wrong. Is somebody covering your legal fees? I just cannot imagine that you're having to go through this.
I got a great legal team, Darren Ritchie out of Beverly Hills. He's fantastic. No one's really covering my legal fees, but he has been working with me. He took this case as a matter of principle. He's been amazing. I mean, he's an American and he cares. And, you know, he's a criminal defense attorney. So, you know, he always says that I'm one of his few clients that he actually is proud of to defend because he knows that I'm innocent. And The legal team that I have is fantastic. He's been supportive. He's been a friend. I can't say enough about them. They've been absolutely amazing. But to quote our mutual friend, Pastor Rob McCoy, he says, the truth isn't afraid of a lie, but the lie is afraid of a truth, because a lie can't exist in front of the truth, right? And that's just been, you know, my standard. I trust that God will give me justice. It has been extremely difficult. People don't, like, I've lost my career. I've been defamed through the media everywhere. I had to delete all social media. Can't really get a job. I mean, if people Google me, it's, you know, I can't really rent an apartment, because even though I have no criminal record whatsoever, people really don't want to offer an apartment to me. You know, I've lost thousands of dollars. I've lost my clearance. I mean, people don't understand, not to mention that I was in jail for a day in DC Central, and I had to self-surrender. And having arrested and searched and put plenty of people behind bars, myself going through that, it was really kind of traumatic. But one, I had a deep appreciation for Jesus when he was wrongfully accused and in shackles. You know, there's a level of solidarity with him in that. And then, you know, your faith becomes real. Like, and that's why I came on the show today, not to talk about politics or my story or whatever. Just anyone listening to this, I just want to encourage you that, like, if you're hurting, if you're suffering, Jesus is, you may not understand why you're suffering, but he's not laughing at you or watching you. He's present with you, and he's suffering with you. And if you put your hope in him, you give it meaning, you will make it through this. You know, I read I read parts of your book, Is Atheism Dead? And, right. That's your book. Yeah. It's your new book out.
Yeah.
I think you come across this thing of anyone talking about, if they have an answer for pain and suffering, right? They're wrong. Anyone on this side of the veil has an answer for why we suffer.
You know
this,
what? But this is a big subject. We're going to a break. We're going to be right back. Just a joy to have as my guest, Mark Ibrahim. Don't go away. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Folks, welcome back. I have as my guest Mark Ibrahim, a DEA agent who was suspended from the agency for being outside the Capitol during the riot, and who subsequently has been horribly persecuted. And so we were just talking, Mark, you were just talking about how it's made your faith more real to you. And it's kind of a funny thing, isn't it? The worst thing that could happen to us could drive us closer to Jesus, which is the best thing that could happen to us. So there's a bit of a paradox here. How do we deal with suffering? And you've been through it. And I just want to say that, you know, it's our honor to have you here. And I know that a lot of people will be praying for you. But there are many others like you. Some are behind bars right now. We're going through a tough time in this country, but as you were saying, it's driven you closer to Jesus, which is, I don't think the devil really wants to drive us closer to Jesus. So I feel like there are times when bad things, really God does work all things together for good. Even the worst things, like what you're going through, works it together for good. So I'm actually very hopeful for the country that we're going through something in these trials right now that are leading a lot of people to a God that maybe they were holding him at arm's length.
Right. I mean, when you suffer, you kind of have two options, right? There's like the atheistic approach or someone who believes in Jesus, right? It's when you suffer as an atheist, it has no meaning. It's awful. And it's just the worst way to deal with it. And you're just in it. But as a Christian, we believe that when we're suffering, that Christ is suffering alongside us, that even though we may not understand it currently, that it is for our good, maybe not our present good, but our eternal good, and that we can actually offer it up to him and say, Lord, I accept this burden and this pain, and I will feel it, and I offer it up to you, and you do what you want with this. And so, and it's kind of a way of owning. I think Henry Nguyen wrote a book called The Inner Voice of Healing, or The Inner Voice of Love, and it talks about owning your pain. And I think as a Christian, if we can own it, accept it, and offer it to Christ, he can bring it to fruition, and he can bring a positive outcome of this. I know that this is extremely political. I mean, just today, there was a White House staffer who was caught with a gun going inside the building. And he said he didn't know the gun was there. And now he's being charged with lesser charges than I'm being charged with. And I wasn't even in the building. I didn't even step on the stairs of the building. There was another law enforcement officer who was arrested for carrying his gun on Capitol grounds, as the articles read. And the Department of Justice dropped the case against him. My brother was carrying his firearm with him, and he's still a special agent and was not fired. You know, it's, and as he shouldn't be, and I'm not playing the victim or anything. It's just the only difference between me and all these individuals is I got on Tucker Carlson. I said, it's not right that I lost my job.
Okay, but doesn't this get to the point is that what I take away, and I think most people paying any attention understand that there are powers that be who are evil. And what they're doing is they're saying, you know what? We're going to make an example of you. We want to scare people so they'll keep their mouths shut, so they won't go on Tucker Carlson. So they'll be afraid to go to jail. They'll be afraid to be sued. They'll be afraid. And we want to scare them and chill them and shut them up. Well, those are fighting words, because if you do that with me, I'm going to talk more. And I think there are a lot of Americans that they're just saying, like, You think you're gonna shut me up in the United States of America? I believe in a God who defeated death. So I'm gonna try to act like that, and I'm gonna speak the truth. But we have to be honest that the idea that people are trying to use these bullying tactics and these threats to shut people up is the most un-American thing. In other words, you want to talk about insurrection? That is insurrection. That is a bullet to the head of Uncle Sam. That is the destruction of the United States of America. And I just think we have to be really clear that when people pull this stuff, as they're pulling it on you, and they pull it on me by ripping us off of YouTube, they are letting you know that they don't have a leg to stand on. All they can do is try to threaten you and try to keep you silent. And I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. While I was at Pastor Rob's church one Sunday, I met, I think his name is Ian Vanchenko, something like that. Anyways, he wrote a book called The KGB's Most Wanted, and I met him. And he gave me a signed copy, and he prayed for me in Russian. And I asked him, you know, he was the KGB's most wanted man. He faced execution, I think he spent over 20 years in prison or something like that for evangelizing. And I asked him, I said, weren't you scared, like, when they told you to stop it, when they told you to quit, when they told you, don't do this, we're going to kill your family and we're going to throw you in prison for the rest of your life, weren't you scared? And he gave me a response. He said, of course I was scared. But when he said, perfect love casts out fear, right? And just you hit it on the nail on the head. You said, we believe in a God who's conquered death, right? I know that I wasn't an insurrectionist. I know that I wasn't violent. I know that I didn't hurt anybody. And I know I didn't go in that building. I know I stopped people from going in that building who told me they were going to go in and encouraged me to go in that building. I know the truth. And again, like I said, the truth isn't afraid of a lie, but a lie is afraid of the truth. And so I trust in God, and that's it. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm facing 15 years as a former federal agent. Life in prison for me is not going to be good. That's a fact, right? But I, whatever God gives me, I will accept, right? I know the truth. I know I wasn't in the wrong. And I know that if there was anything I could have done to help, my only regret about January 6th, truthfully, is it not going there, is not this. My only regret is not doing more to aid law enforcement.
Hold on 1 second. We're gonna go to break. We'll be right back. Final segment with Mark Ibrahim. Don't go away. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Hey, folks, final segment with Mark Ibrahim. He was a DEA agent who was suspended from the agency for being outside the Capitol during the riot. We're talking about a lot of things. Mark, you know, you were just talking about this idea that you spoke to, I forget his name. I've met him a million times. The Russian
KGB's most wanted, I think, Ian Vachenko.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like
there we go. Yeah, I've met him many times. I met his family. I think it was at Rob McCoy's church the last time. But the funny thing is that he went through this when the Soviet Union was in its darkest place. They if you believed in God, if you loved God or if you talked about God, you were enemy number one. And they had no qualms about treating you in the most cruel manner because that was their ideology. What's, of course, staggering and horrifying is that we in the United States of America are today suddenly facing similar ideologies. People that don't have – they have no bottom line except power. And so if you talk about, well, my faith is in God, I'm not afraid of you, that is a nightmare for them, because if you can't be intimidated, if you look to God, if you fear God and love God, they really can't hurt you. They can't intimidate you. They can try. But that's what I find so interesting is that here we are, you know, we're talking about people who went through this in the former Soviet Union, where it makes sense that they went through it, because we know that that was an evil regime. It was an evil empire that took a bold stand against the God of the Bible and against those who loved him. But now in America, we're seeing similar things, and they've come after you and they've come after many. And I think the first thing we need to do is just be honest about it and talk about it. And that's why I'm just so grateful to you for coming on this program, because people need to understand, you know, as we hear you, it's obvious what kind of a person you are, and it's a joke that they would try to demonize you and stuff. And I think that the more we talk, the less we're intimidated into silence, the more people see, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. I have been lied to. These people are not insurrectionists. These people are not a threat to democracy. On the contrary, these people are the backbone of democracy. So I do think people are waking up. I think that God is using this really horrific time to lead many people closer to him and to the truth. So I'm really hopeful, and I know that no matter what happens with you, God is with you. God, you're the one that people should fear. You know what I'm saying? You say, oh, former law enforcement going into prison. On the contrary, Jesus is inside you, and let me tell you, you're going to you just bring him wherever you go. And so there's some amazing things happening in the midst of this mess, some really hopeful things. At least that's how I'm reading it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I believe that the self-government, in order for self-government to work, people have to be moral, right? People not necessarily, they need to be self-governed. They need to be able to not be beaten or brutally placed in like the least religious or least more moral a country is, the harsher the government has to be, right? And, you know, I see this with this defund the police movement, and I'm questioning why this is happening. And I have a lot of law enforcement friends, and I realize that the local police are the first line of defense and self-government, right? Generally speaking, police are from their communities, and it's communities policing each other, right? Truth is, we need to that job should be praised, and we should really encourage and thank our police officers and law enforcement officers, especially at the local level, who are part of a community and answer a call, especially now in this horrible time where you'll be judged, you know, days later when a guy is pointing a gun in your face. And so I would just encourage people just to thank their law enforcement officers and realize that law enforcement, local law enforcement, is the first line of defense in self-government, because that's how a moral society rules itself. And if we do away with local law enforcement, we're going to have socialism, you know, and that's, if you notice, there was a trend in Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong, and all they did was they did away with municipal powers and local governments and local authorities. And so, you know, just thank a police officer when you get a chance. And I don't know. I mean, pray for America, please. Just pray for our nation.
There are many people praying for this nation. That's why I have hope, because I think to myself, a lot of people have been praying for this nation for the last number of years, especially since the election. Many, many people of profound faith have been praying for the election. I mean, praying for the country since the election. They've kept praying. And God hears every one of those prayers. This is every one of those prayers is heard and answered. And I really do believe that the prayers are piling up and that God will answer. He's answering already, but he will answer in ways that are really dramatic. And our job is to be faithful and to look to him in the midst of it. But a lot of people are suffering and struggling right now, all in our different spheres. Very few people are facing, 15 years behind bars. But the principle is the same, that if we really want to know, is God real? He's real. And I just think that becomes clearer and clearer when if you're willing to step out there. There are a lot of people that have stood back and they're watching this and they're thinking, man, I don't want to get in trouble. Let's be really clear. That's called cowardice. And God doesn't call us to be cowards. He calls us to be courageous, to step up and to trust him that he's got our back. No matter what happens, he is with us. He goes with us. So we're just about out of time. Mark, is there a way people can help you financially? Is there a place people can go, a website? What is the story?
What's it? There is a Give, Send, Go. GoFundMe deplatformed me. You know, they defunded GoFundMe deplatformed Kyle Rittenhouse,
yeah.
But the jump kick man raised $5 million on GoFundMe.
So where would people need to go quickly, because we're almost out of time? Where would people need to go if they want to help you?
There's a Give, Send, Go. It's called Mark's Liberty Fund.
Gifts they want to and go. Go?
Give, Send, Go.
Give, Send, Go. Sorry. Give, Send, Go. Mark's Liberty Fund. Is that it?
Yeah.
Give, Send, Go. Mark's Liberty Fund. Mark Ibrahim, my brother, God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
The choir of children sing their song.
If you change your mind,
take a chance
on the first in line.
Take a chance,
honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
Take a chance
if you need me.
Hey there, folks. I want to remind you, please, if you haven't given to free slaves in southern Sudan, do not forget. They've extended it till the 15th of this month. Hugely important opportunity. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. We want everybody to do something. You can do something. You know you can. MetaxasTalk.com. Alvin, I want to talk, since we had Mark Ibrahim on, I just have to want to be really clear, and then I want to get your thoughts. But in my story on Bonhoeffer, I talk about the Reichstag fire, okay? Early in 1933, some nut burned down the Capitol building, right? Burned the Reichstag, okay? Yeah. He was just a nut, and he really did burn down the Reichstag. But the way the Nazis used this as an opportunity to totally crush all dissent, to squeeze every little bit of freedom and liberty out of the German nation, that is exactly how I see January 16th. Like, whatever happened, you know, was not good. But honestly, the reaction to it has been so despicable and so clarifying that there are people, they don't care if they have to lie, exaggerate, whatever they have to do to control the narrative and to demonize people like you and me and my mom and dad and anybody that believes Trump would have been the better choice. It's an amazing moment we're living in. I know you had some stuff you wanted to share.
Right. It was either Saul Alinsky or Goebbels that said, accuse your opponent of what you yourself are doing to create confusion and to inculcate voters against evidence of your own guilt. Remember, January 6th was a Stop the Steal rally. It was about an insurrection that had already taken place. In early November, the votes were stolen and the Donald Trump administration was ousted out of office in a non-violent way, but it was an insurrection. So what happened was they conspired, the Dems, the left, and the media, to actually have a violent take over the Capitol. And of course, Nancy Pelosi let, you know, we don't need any National Guard, FBI. They said, come on in. And then they trumped up all these things. Now, the media is telling us, and we know that they lied on COVID. We know that they lied about Russia and the connection with Trump. We know they lied about Hunter Biden's laptop. We know they lied about January 6th. But there are conservatives out there that are saying, yes, but they did not lie about the vote stealing in November. No, they're very honest about that.
Can we even imagine? I mean, this is why I want to say to my audience, and you're helping me say it, folks, what you see, you see. We all see it. Don't let the voices that insist on lying, on gaslighting you, don't let them get the upper hand. Tune them out. They are playing a game. It is nothing less than satanic deception. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, it's like a textbook on satanic deception. How do we win when we are fighting against truth? This is the playbook. And what they have done with January 6th, and Alvin, you've said it exactly, they know that if we lie loudly enough and often enough, there are going to be enough people that are just going to shut up and go along with it. But there aren't enough people yet. We still have a battle in America. And there are people like us, like people who listen to this program, who say, you know what? I'm going to fight for what is right. And even if we don't win, and we will win, but even if we don't win, we're going to fight because we need to do what is right and true. We need to speak the truth. We need to do it because there are people whose lives are depending on us not keeping quiet. We just got a couple of seconds left. You want to make a final comment?
Well, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the fire and they said, look, we're going to stand on the side of the Lord. And even if he's not going to save us from this, we're still going to be on the right side. But he did save them. He did save them.
Yes,
he'll save us.
It's the only way to fly, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and God bless America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.